Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We got Browns Chiefs on Sunday. The Browns trying to play spoiler to what could be the first team to ever win three straight Super Bowls in NFL history. To talk about all that, we also got to talk about Army-Navy, because our next guest on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline is going to be part of the announced team for Army-Navy this weekend in Landover, Maryland. The great Mike Mayock, NFL analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, guys. How you doing?
Doing really, really well. Is this, I'm sorry for being ignorant on this, is this your first in-person Army-Navy game?
No, I've done several games. Back in the late 90s, I was actually the sideline reporter on television for CBS when the wall fell down in the end zone, injuring a bunch of cadets. And it became a major story. It was in my hometown of Philadelphia. Anyway, I did that game. I've done a couple on the radio. When I was a senior at Boston College, I played against all three service academies, and I hated every minute.
All right. I think we lost Mike.
The wall fell down
on his phone.
You notice the timing there was, he was like, I hated every minute of playing against the three service academies, and Big Government shut him down right there.
Ah, that's what it was.
That's exactly what it was.
Well, might have been with some of those drones over New Jersey. Might have interrupted it as well.
Here's the thing. Watching it on TV, man, just nothing compares to going to the actual game.
I mean, I've had so many friends that have gone to the game because it was like a big thing that they would take, you know, different radio teams and different radio stations and send them out to there. So I think I've known like a million people in the business that have gone, and I've had every one of them have said the exact same thing that you said. You just come back and you're like, this is the coolest, one of the coolest sporting events they ever go to.
Mike, welcome back, buddy. Sorry about that.
No, I'm sorry. Basically, what I was saying is I've been to a lot of NFL games. I've been to a lot of college games. I've been a GM. I played in the NFL. But anytime I walk on the academy to do a game, back in the day when I played against them, I get chill bumps. You watch the walk-on, the flyover. If you've got any kind of patriotic stick in your body, it gets to you. And I've been watching film all week of these two teams, and I'm all fired up for this game. It's pretty special, and I think in today's college football world, unique.
Yeah, it's obviously a great time. We're not having as great of a time watching Browns football these days, Mike. It's been a slug. How did the Browns get fixed?
You don't have a time machine to undo the Deshaun Watson trade, so you're stuck. Bottom line for me is this, is your owner has to be patient. I think you've got the two right guys at the top. I'm a Stefanski fan. I'm an Andrew Berry fan. I think they're both really smart, and I think they'll figure it out. The problem is you've got a quarterback that's not going to play for you. It's costing you $40-plus million in cash, another $70-plus on the salary cap. To be honest with you, I'd rather not even have him in the building next year. I would just rather move on, take the hit, and go.
So with that, you know, we've had kind of the debate on the show. Jimmy Haslam was actually quoted at the owners' meetings this week, saying he doesn't think it's going to take that long to rebuild this thing, that it won't be a prolonged rebuild. Do you look at this and see more than maybe a one-year retool?
Well, look, it's a lot to ask Kevin to continually win 11 games starting four different quarterbacks. And I don't think the answer is on the roster. So the answer to your question is how quickly can they get a capable quarterback that can help them win playoff games? And is that a veteran or is that a draft pick? And again, you've got to recalibrate your table based on that answer. I would think if you're a Browns fan, and again, who knows what the draft order is going to be, but if you're a Browns fan, you'd like to get a good young quarterback and be able to build around the rookie contract. But we don't even know where they're going to be picking yet. So the bottom line to me is believe in those guys. They'll begin to get the draft picks back that they lost in the Watson trade. The offensive line was decimated before the season even started. I'd like to get a real good look at some of those young players. You know, I want to find out if Michael Hall can play. You know, I want to find out if that seventh-round draft pick on the defensive line, whether he can play. Isaiah McGuire is playing more snaps. I mean, I kind of look at the rest of this year like, what can we get from our young guys? What do we believe in? You know, Dalvin Tomlinson, you know, I think his guaranteed money burns off this year. So do you want to pay him $11 million next year? You know, there's a bunch of different conversations that you can't have in a 10-minute radio interview that they're going to have to figure out in the offseason.
Mike, you said you like Stefanski and Barry. I like Stefanski as well. I think he's a good head coach. Barry's the one I'm not necessarily sold on. It's been 5 years, and we don't have a lot of draft picks that are hit there. And he hasn't had as many, obviously, first-round picks with Deshaun and what that draft compensation was in order to go ahead and get Deshaun. But what is it you like about Andrew Barry in particular?
What I really like and what I've learned in this league over a lot of years is it's about the relationship between the head coach and the GM. And if they're not tied at the hip philosophically, it's good to argue. It's good to have disagreements. It's good to work at each other to get better. But if you're not philosophically aligned, you've got no shot in this league. And one of the best coaches that ever coached told me years ago, I asked him how many teams he worried about every year. And he said, maybe 5, 6, 7. And I said, why so few? And he said, the other 25 will eliminate themselves. And that's what happens in this league. And that's what happened to Cleveland in the early part of the Haslam reign. You know, you're firing head coaches and GMs every year or two. And really, once you get the right guys in there, and you can quibble about draft picks and what they've done in free agency, but I think the two of them are aligned philosophically. I think they're both really smart. And I don't think Andrew has had a fair shot yet based on exactly what you said, which is all the draft picks given up for the quarterback.
Mike Mack on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So when it comes to this draft, I'm not sure, you know, how much work you've been able to get done yet because we're still early in the draft process is what I'm trying to say. But do you, if you have done kind of some of that advanced work, do you see a franchise quarterback in this draft this year?
I don't see it like last year. I mean, I had big grades on the two quarterbacks last year. I mean, there were really four or five, but the Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, I had the identical grade on, and it was a big grade. And then I had Drake May and Penix a notch below. And then after that, I had Bo Nix. And you look what's going on in the league, and this is rare. I think what people have to understand is this young quarterback class so far is rare. Next year, and I have done a lot of work, and there's a clumping of quarterbacks, and I don't have them in any order yet, but, you know, Shador Sanders from Colorado, Cam Ward from Miami, the Alabama kid, Milroe, the Georgia kid, Beck, who's had a disappointing year. I mean, they're the four or five guys that I think are going to be at the top end of this draft. And I've done a minimum of four or five games on all of them, going back to 23 and 24. And I'm not ready to jump on the table for any of them. I don't think it's as good a class as last year, but I still have a lot of work before I put any final grades on them.
Well, so if you're the Browns, knowing that then, are you going to be hesitant? If you're drafting somewhere between, let's just say conservatively, 6 to 9, and I would imagine a couple quarterbacks would be off the board then. If it's the third or fourth, if you're the Browns, are you doing the bridge quarterback thing and just kind of saying, we'll wait till next year?
I think it's part of the problem is, when does a good veteran quarterback hit the market? Not often. I give Minnesota a ton of credit for what they've done with Darnold, and I think their head coach is rare with his ability to develop a quarterback at this stage in his career. So I think you scour the veteran group that may or may not be available. When I was with the Raiders, we had Derek Carr, and you know, I knew Derek wasn't a top five quarterback in the league, but he was better than a bridge quarterback. You could win games with him. You could go to the playoffs with him. You could build around him, and which bought you time to find that franchise quarterback. So I'm not sure when the Browns are going to be drafted this early again, because I do believe in Kevin. Kevin wins a lot of games. But if they find a quarterback in this draft that they like, they got to go find a way to get him, because right now it's not on their roster.
Mike, looking at this matchup this weekend, the Chiefs are in town. They're 12-1. The Browns are not 12-1. They're 3-10. If you took, because we've been asking all of our NFL analysts this week this question, if you took Pat Mahomes and you put him as the quarterback of the Browns, so that's the only thing you switch, everything stays the same for the Cleveland Browns, what does the Browns record look like with Pat Mahomes?
Significantly different. And it, at the end of the day, what's important in the NFL for winning consistently, it's what kind of owner do you have? What's the relationship between the head coach and the GM? And most importantly, do you have a franchise quarterback? And guys, there's only five or six at most in this league that you go, okay, that's a franchise quarterback. And every year I'll sit there at the end of the summer and kind of think about, okay, you know, Jalen Hurts 2 years ago was heading that way, but where is he now? Deshaun Watson fell off the face of the earth. What about the young guys? What about the kid in Detroit that's playing his ass off right now? And so you're trying to figure out, you know, how do you become a team with one of those guys? And you have to continuously take chances trying to find that quarterback for your franchise, or you're just probably going to be swimming in mediocrity for most of it.
How do the Chiefs keep winning these one-score games?
You already answered your question. But the quarterback, but I'll take it a step further. And, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia. I'm an Andy Reid person. I always have been. I know him pretty well. And a couple years ago when the Eagles were up at halftime of the Super Bowl, I was kind of like, you know, I just think this is going to be Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And that's what it was. And I think at this point you can now add Steve Spagnuolo. So I know it's sexy to talk about the quarterbacks and the players, but with Kansas City, I think it's the quarterback. I think it's the culture that the quarterback is a big part of. And then you look at Andy Reid and the defensive coordinator Spagnuolo, and that defense has carried them in the regular season for two consecutive years now.
Mike, we talked about Bill Belichick going back to college the first time since I believe he was in college. I'm just curious, like, what do you think is the most important thing for Bill Belichick to succeed in his, whether it's 3 years, 4 years, 5 years stay as Tar Heels head coach in college?
Look, I played for Bill Belichick on the New York Giants in the mid-'80s. And he was a 29-year-old linebacker coach and special teams coordinator, and I knew he was rare even then. Okay, so the fact that he's 72 now, what I fully expect, he's already hired Mike Lombardi to be his GM. The college game is turning into a version of the NFL. As far as I'm concerned, the portal is no different than free agency, except there's no cap. At the end of the day, he'll bring that model in. He'll bring in a bunch of really high-level coaches. He'll be able to tell kids, you come to North Carolina, and I'll be your best tool, we'll be your best tool to get you to the NFL. Just look at my track record. He'll have a bunch of young coaches on that staff, in addition to the veteran guys, and he'll have a transition plan. So I expect him to go in there and compete immediately at a high level. People are worried about him and whether or not he can communicate with 17 and 18-year-olds. I know he can because I've seen a different side of him the last 40 or 50 years, and I think the American public has seen a different side of him this last year, and I think it'll be intriguing to see going forward how he presents himself.
Mike, we also, obviously, with the Chiefs coming into town, we're, you know, wondering, can they be a three-peat? And, you know, JP mentioned the one-score wins and all this. What do you think is a key to Kansas City, or maybe the key to Kansas City being the first team in NFL history to win three straight Super Bowls?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to do what they did last year, which was your defense plays at a higher level than your offense. And then you get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden, the offense gets kicked into high gear. I did their Buffalo game in the playoffs at Buffalo last year, and Josh Allen played his tail off in the first half, about as well as Josh Allen could play. And every time he scored, Patrick Mahomes scored. It was unbelievable. He's throwing guys open that caught 18 passes the whole season, you know, like Valdez-Scantling. And out of nowhere, they just became, again, a juggernaut on offense. And I think that's really hard to do, is to just kick the offense into gear again at the end of the year in the playoffs. But I think that is their key, because I think their defense will be good. I think their special teams are always good. I think it becomes, can Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, can they fix the offensive line at left tackle? Can they run the football? They're going to get Pacheco back. What's it going to look like on offense once they get in the playoffs?
We might have the game of the season. You mentioned Josh Allen. It'll be the Lions and the Bills this weekend. How do you see that one?
Love that game. Love the Eagles and the Steelers in the same time frame. I think Buffalo's got to win a football game, especially after what happened to them last week, and especially their defense. Detroit is beat up on defense. I give that organization so much credit for where they started, staying consistent with the head coach, the GM, letting them build their way. They got a culture now that's special. They just keep finding, like a little bit like Kansas City, they keep finding ways to win regardless of how many injuries they have. I think it's going to be tough. Having said all that, I think that's going to be a tough ask in Buffalo on Sunday.
Mike, excellent stuff. Can't wait to hear you on the Army-Navy call this weekend. For those who want to obviously watch a game, 2 p.m. Eastern pregame, 3 p.m. kickoff. So we want to say thank you for your time. Happy holidays to you and your family. And again, thanks again for joining us. Great stuff.
Thanks for having you guys.
Mike Mack there, NFL Network analyst. He'll be on the Army-Navy call this weekend. Mike joining us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Big endorsements for the Browns situation. Is it that simple? Next on 92.3 The Fan. There's a great magic trick that has been played by Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski on the rest of the NFL that everyone blames the Deshaun Watson trade on Jimmy Haslam.
Can we get a guest on here that can try to hold these guys accountable in any sort of measure? I don't know that it's possible.
Yeah, but I think we
defend these guys now.
I think they think they're holding Jimmy Haslam accountable. I think that's what they think. I think they look at this and go, it was Jimmy's decision to make the trade, and I think that's where the problem lies, even though, and again, the Morning Boys have been on top of this, that Jimmy had to be talked into moving on from Baker Mayfield.
As the Morning Boys say.
As the Morning Boys say.
Which is not any, that's what they hear.
Yeah, that's true.
That doesn't actually mean that it's true, but
well,
it's
no.
just what they hear.
Well, doesn't that prove that it's not all Jimmy Haslam? Like if Jimmy Haslam had to be talked into it, what Svengali, what silver tongue devil talked him into it? It was some combination of DePodesta, Berry, and Stefanski. Ergo, why would anybody get a pass for that trade if they talked the impetuous owner into doing it?
the main point is that we can't get anybody to come on the station and say anything bad about Stefanski or Barry or anyone that isn't Jimmy Haslam. And I just think it's, I think it's really interesting. And I defend Stefanski. You know I do. I'm open on Barry. You want to have an argument about Barry? We can discuss Barry until the cows come home. But I think it's wild to me that everyone just wants to use Haslam as the pinata, and nobody wants to point any fingers to anybody else.
Yeah, and honestly, by the way, it's not just analysts. I mean, we will have 4, 5, 6 tweets per day. Kevin's not the problem. Fire Barry. Barry's not the problem. Fire Kevin. And it's interesting to see, like, you know, Mike said, Stefanski wins a lot of games. He's now a below 500 head coach.
Right.
Is this all just because they walked into the worst franchise in football and turned them into a 500 team? Is that all this is?
I think there's another layer to it. I think it's that, and I do think that is a part of it, but I think the other layer to it is that when you see Stefanski, you do think about somebody that is like a respectable member of society, and you know he's not an idiot, and you know he's buttoned up. And Andrew Barry's the same way, too. And Andrew Barry with the Howardsman ties, we know how deep that goes as well. I mean, any chance he gets, he just talks about his time in Philly and how Howie Roseman's the best GM in the league. Well, Howie Roseman talks to a lot of people across the league, so I bet that probably helps him out a lot as well. It's like, oh, yeah, these two. They got to figure it out. They're young, but they have it figured out. And I think there's a part of the NFL that doesn't want two people like that, two people that appear to be smart, appear to be buttoned up, aren't idiots, to fail.
Man, I think the way it seems, because again, in Mike, man, we talked about there's going to be a fall guy for this. It sure seemed like Deshaun's a fall guy. He can be on the payroll, but he's not going to be in the building. And that's the wave your wand, and that's going to be enough. Now, I think for some fans, that is going to be enough. I will say, I think for some fans, if the first thing they do on, I don't know, when the season ends on January, this is so hard, 6th, right? Did I do that right?
I think that's right. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So January 7th, whatever that Monday is, they come out and go, we made a terrible mistake with the Sean trade. It's all of our decision, and we're going to be moving on from Deshaun. It's just basically paperwork. Either he'll be here, meaning he'll be here in name only. He's just going to get a check from us, or we're going to cut him. Whatever it is, I think Mayock and a lot of people think that that is enough, and that they present Deshaun as a fall guy for all this.
Were you surprised Mayock put Deshaun's name to it?
No.
And said it the way that he did? Because, no. I mean, that does in many respects, that's not really looking out for Andrew Barry.
Deshaun's the most villainized guy in the NFL. You couldn't pile on Deshaun enough.
I know, but the way that Mayock said it, it was so matter-of-fact, and it was so just kind of like, of course this is what you do, while completely ignoring the idea that the Browns haven't done it.
No, I'm not surprised.
Even if it's obvious to me and you that that's what should happen. He should never play another down with the Browns. He shouldn't be in a Browns uniform. It's just, it's interesting how that's the line of thought. It's like, of course he shouldn't play anymore, but the Browns have not done that.
I also think it's really interesting where the discourse on drafting quarterbacks is. On one hand, Mike admitted he does not, as of right now, see a franchise quarterback in this draft. And he kind of has them all bunched together. On the other hand, he pretty much advocated for taking a quarterback in the draft.
Yes.
And what's interesting about that is...
So you find one you like and you take him.
It does fly contrary. It flies right in the face of what has been a time-honored axiom and thought process around the NFL is, if you're taking a quarterback with a top 10 pick, he better be a franchise quarterback.
Well, I think Mike was giving credence to the idea that you can like a quarterback. I think me and you read it into... You're going to have to follow. You're going to have to convince yourself you like this quarterback. And that's where it becomes a slippery slope.
No, I mean, here's the thing. They like them all. They're very, I mean,
look at what happened this last year. This last year, I think, told a lot of different teams, whether you are Denver with Bo Nix, who was not supposed to be some great quarterback, that if you like it, just like a quarterback, you don't have to love a quarterback, like a quarterback, and you believe in your process, and you believe you're good enough with quarterbacks, that you can make them work.
I'm not saying you can't make that work. But I will say, like, the danger of going from Baker to Deshaun to another Baker-esque quarterback, a quarterback you like but maybe don't love, I think the danger of that gets you fired as just about anything else. Like, again, if these guys really are the careerist, or if they're the sly maneuvers that we think they are, because, by the way, that's how you exist in the NFL. You have to be able to play the game in the NFL. If you are, the reason you went to Deshaun is because
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Deshaun would give you a chance to win every year, and that's how you keep your job. That's how you turn into a 10, you know,
well, the
a
reality
10, 15,
is that,
20-year job.
Nick, the reality is that there's so few people that get to do the Howie Roseman, you have the job for 20 years, you know? And Mayock said it best right there. He's like, you got five or six guys in the league that he thinks are actual franchise quarterbacks. They're so few and far to get anyway.
216-474-0092. So Mike Mayock seems to really love Stefanski. And Barry, I'm just curious, when you guys hear NFL national analysts time and time again come on and say how much they like Stefanski and Barry, if you're out or if you doubt either or both guys, does that carry water for you? When we come back, though, the Browns' opportunity to do something that people around the NFL really love, but do you love it? 92.3 The Fan.
We were already in alien conversations.
That's
we're talking
true.
About all sorts of other things. I said, how receptive, and Jax, you can chime in here, how receptive would Nick have been to me saying the hat indoors?
Yeah.
I was kind of looks a little weird. The beanie as well.
But I didn't want to do that because you didn't seem like you're in the type of day where you'd take that very well.
See, that's interesting about it. It's not just the hat indoors, the winter hat indoors. It's the fact that it is in no way, it just does not match my purple shirt at all.
Not even close.
So, and here's the thing.
But wait, I didn't have a good defense for it either. Like, if I was going to go to the table and be like, hey, listen, that beanie indoors, like, I was going to say, are you warm? You know what I mean? And kind of maybe hint at it, like, you can take it off now. But there was no easy entry point into it. And I had a feeling you'd come back and be like, it's a hat. You can wear a hat indoors, and I got no rebuttal to that.
No, not really. I don't think I would have a rebuttal. No, I think I just throw myself. So what happened is Keith put up the video of Mike Mayock talking about Deshaun Watson saying, I don't want him here next year. You guys can watch that video at 92.3 The Fan on X. And yeah, well, okay. So there was a missing step in my prep today because I had a lot going on, throwing the chili together. No, this is just I just forgot. I usually will wear this hat outside, and then I'll have like a ball cap to put on.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to worry about my hair. I don't want to worry about my hairline or anything else.
Oh, you just forgot the ball cap.
Forgot the ball cap. But now there's a mop under here that would look even more unruly.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing, man. I've had bad hair days where I'm like, I just can't even. I'm going to have to do this.
It's not good today.
I'm going to have to do this. And this is all that's going to happen. And you're no one's getting me to take off that hat.
But also, McG on Twitter asking if I'm rolling my eyes. I didn't realize how during these videos I am Adam Gasing like you would not believe. Like I'm like looking over the wall over there. I'm looking back over here. At one point I'm smirking. No, I'm not rolling my eyes. I just might be having some sort of out of body experience.
Something I'm not sure. Have you picked up on in watching back the videos? We've talked about my RBF and everything.
Uh-huh.
Do you know how often your left eye twitches?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with you.
No, I made peace with that months ago. I don't think Dusty ever did.
I think Dusty really thought when he saw the eye twitching that I was enraged.
Well, it always happens when you're enraged, but I know it's not towards me. I know it's just a thing that happens in general.
No.
What does your wife say about that?
She doesn't.
She doesn't. Okay. Yeah.
No, right. I had to all these things.
In control at this point.
My wife is so nice. I find out all these things the hard way, which is by watching a video back.
Yeah,
and it's tough. It's tough for the ego.
Kind of nice though that you learn all these things. I've really enjoyed learning that I have RBF because it's had me. I work on it now. I genuinely I'll work on it. I'll look at somebody looking at me and be like, oh, I see that they think that I'm mad right now. Let me give them a quick smile and make sure that they know. But then my smile, you know, sometimes it's not great either, and that just makes things more awkward. I'm still working on it.
Listen, we can be better. We will be better, but it's going to have to start tomorrow because I'm not exposing this. It's not even a mullet. It is just, it's not even a faux hawk. Like, it's messy, but I don't have enough hair to like style it up to a faux hawk, which is what I would do if my hair were like, but I just got a haircut. So it looks just like a buzz cut, basically. So it's not a good thing. It's basically what I'm saying. But tomorrow.
It's okay.
Tomorrow in the videos. Oh, I'm going to look 1% better.
You seem like you own an Ohio State coffee shop.
Okay, I'd take that.
Yeah. Like, you're going to...
Like a good one? A profitable one?
Well, also one that, like, you know, buys back your books at the end of the season because they know it's profitable.
It's a buyback coffee shop.
Yeah, one of those.
I mean, that's a coffee shop with a heart right there.
Yeah, but hey, you even when you serve the coffees and the drinks, you have like the little heart shaped ones. You got the leaf that you can have.
No,
like,
I'm not the artist, right? I hire
not at all.
People. Okay,
yeah,
that's
not
good.
At all. No,
that's
no.
good. So we were talking about this in the pre-show. And everybody seems to think the Browns have a chance to win this game on Saturday, like a real chance.
Yeah.
Ross Tucker yesterday said, I think they're going to win, or something to that effect, as I completely bastardized whatever he said. If only we had audio of that. We don't have audio of that because I forgot to ask for it. But you didn't seem too impressed with the Browns playing spoilers over the next four games and certainly this game.
Well, it's not that I am not impressed. I just don't care if we play the role of spoiler. I love the idea of trying to figure out how we do it, though. And I think I came up with a recipe. Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
All right, so we talked about the Chiefs' defense, and we've talked a decent amount about how good they are and how respected they are and everything else attached to that. Did you realize they don't get many turnovers, the Chiefs' defense? They're 28th in the league in interceptions, Nick. They're not very good at turning the ball over. 10 turnovers, the entire season. And if the one Achilles heel we have is that Jameis Winston is no risky, no bisky, turns the ball over a ton, but the Chiefs' defense doesn't create turnovers, maybe, just maybe, this is the day we've been waiting for.
So it's funny. I actually do like playing spoilers. Because here's the thing. I think what we do when people say, oh, I don't know. And by the way, I give them a chance. Although I think Jameis is the kind of quarterback that can test that theory if they don't get turnovers.
He's always the one that can test that theory.
But it's interesting. Because you and Keith were kind of going back and forth on it. And I was like, no, I think in a lost season, we are 3-10.
Well, Keith gets me riled up in a way, you know, where if I have a thought and I'm kind of like, do I believe this 100% or just like 90%? How hard do I go here? When Keith is like, hell yeah, I don't like playing. I'm playing spoiler is stupid. And I'm like, yeah, hell yeah.
So
you are right.
So the thing is, though, like when you're 3-10, every little victory, it's okay to celebrate them. And I think yes, being the team. And listen, it's not going to stop the Chiefs from going on if they end up being a three-peat. It's not. But it's a thorn in their side.
Right, but like, do I love playing spoiler more than I love watching us get one or two draft picks better?
In the moment, yeah. At the end of the season, you might be like, ah, man, listen, maybe it wasn't worth it.
I was comfortable with the Steelers game, putting the Jimmy Buffett t-shirt on, putting the flip-flops on, and putting my brain on vacation. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't worry about the sensible thing. Just have fun, enjoy the 3 hours, and try to get the win. I don't know that I'm there for the rest of the season.
I mean, you are the 1 o'clock game this weekend.
Yeah, 4 o'clock game is going to be awesome. Yeah, that window's great.
But you have no competition. Eyes are going to be on you more than anyone else because of Kelce, because of Taylor Swift. This is almost like a national game because the coverage you're getting. I looked at the coverage map the other day. It is ridiculous.
Is it really?
Where the Browns are as opposed to a 3-10 team.
This is back-to-back weeks. Not that we had a bunch of coverage last week, but it was Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the call.
So,
and actually, the 2 weeks prior were both national games in and of itself.
So I look at this, and I'm like, yeah, I kind of would enjoy being spoiled. Like, for instance, even if this game you don't care if they play spoilers, the Ravens game at the end of the year, I think that's another opportunity where you get that win. And in the moment, I'm like, cool.
Well, that win then might actually help the Steelers win the AFC North. So that's going to be a real who-do-you-hate-more contest.
I mean, at that point, you hate whoever's in front of you, right?
Like no, I think you hate who you hate. Like, you always say you hate the Steelers more than you hate the Ravens.
Yeah, but I'll still take a win over the Ravens on the road to close out a season if it takes them from being the 2 seed or the 3 seed to being the 5 seed. That would be objectively funny.
Okay. It would be objectively funny. I think the Chiefs game, if you do win that one, although I don't care about playing spoiler, I do care about the idea that all summer long and all offseason long, people are going to go back to the idea that you beat the Chiefs.
So what's interesting about that
you're going to do that.
You know, but I think that's what's interesting is because the Steelers win was seen as such a, oh, this is how Stefanski and Barry are right. I'm not fire Stefanski and Barry guy. I'm trying to wait for my decision at the end of the year. I'm disgusted that they're 3-10, and I'm more disgusted that people outside of Cleveland don't have an original thought on this setup.
They all got the same memo.
Yeah, it's a little too groupthinky for me, which in fairness is sports media at kind of a big level. There's just not a lot of original thought there on a national level. Really, the only interesting thought tends to be on like the siloed local levels. Like, listen to the Steelers talked about nationally and listen to them talk at the fan in Pittsburgh. The fan in Pittsburgh has much more interesting conversations than the national crowd.
Now, for sure.
Sorry, that was a big... I'm off my soapbox now. It doesn't span my growth.
You're right about that, though. You are. And like we both have done national shows. Like, we know going into that, it's like, oh, I'm going to give my thoughts on this team because I watch football and I care about this, but it's not going to... No chance it's going to be more in-depth than what Pony actually thinks in Pittsburgh.
But I'm sure, on some level, that there are fans who want the Browns to lose the next 4 games because it will increase the odds of some sort of change in that dynamic with Barry and Stefanski. So it's interesting, and I don't know how to say this. I wonder how many fans are watching this game this weekend hoping that they'll play spoiler versus hoping that it'll be the next domino that might put more pressure on Jimmy Haslam to make a decision that the fan wants.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I don't know where our fan base would be. I don't know where the Browns are because there are people out there that want Stefanski gone, Nick. There are people out there that want Barry gone. There are people, despite every national person coming on and saying otherwise, they don't want to see these people in charge anymore. So what do you do in that instance?
By the way, Laura saying that I just look bored. It's just, so the reason what happens is when we're on a call, it's weird if you and I make eye contact. Like when you and I are having a conversation, we're always in lockstep. There's a prolonged eye contact.
Yeah.
When you have a call, you can't. And so I tend to like, all right, what's the next question? So I look to my computer. I look to Jack because there's communication there. I look to Jake because there might be communication there. But it does look very Adam Gase. I almost said Adam Gacy, and then I realized too close to John Wayne Gacy. But it's like I'm following the taco around the screen there. Where am I going there? But yeah, bored is a great way to put it there. Not great, Bob. Pete Futek. We'll talk Bill Belichick in Chapel Hill and the lack of buzz for the Heisman next on 92.3 The Fan.